Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back, my friend, to another Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast Q&A episode. I am here with Coach Lauren. How are you, Lauren?
I am doing good. How are you doing, Nicole?
We are surviving. I feel almost embarrassed to say that we are sick again. It hasn't really hit me yet. I'm expecting it to hit me over the weekend. But my toddler is down sick and my husband is down sick. And even one of my golden retrievers has been puking recently. Yeah. It's been lovely. Lovely for everyone. So I'm sort of oscillating between this place of like, I just want to bury my head in a hole and pretend this isn't happening, and acceptance, because what else is going to happen when you have a toddler that like licks the handlebars of the Costco grocery shopping carts?
Yeah. So. All parents have been there. It's a rite of passage. It's not a fun one, but you're going to get through it and your immune system's going to be incredible by the end of it.
Yeah. I get, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, they say. So
we'll say it. Yeah.
We'll ride it out. I don't know.
That is something that's said. Yeah.
I will say, now this is not medical advice, but last week, my little one had a stomach bug and my husband got said stomach bug. And this week is some sort of respiratory thing. And my husband has said respiratory thing. Now, I didn't get the stomach bug, knock on all the wood. And so far, I've been okay with escaping the respiratory thing. I have been taking vitamin D every other morning and vitamin C every other morning. And my husband does none of that because why be proactive, right? Like why would I possibly take a vitamin? And I mean, not saying that my well-balanced diet and my like sleep practices don't have anything to do with it, but I do believe that supporting my immunity just by preventative vitamin C and vitamin D consumption, maybe is helping.
It's gotta be doing something, maybe a little bit. I've always heard that the right dose of exercise is one of the best things you can do for your immune system too. Like obviously not too much, but just being somebody who exercises regularly is one of the best things you can do too. So I always credit, because I also have had the experience where I am not getting sick when a lot of my other family members are, and I'm a little like walking around like, haha, you guys should all exercise more.
I know it's only a matter of time. I mean, I can't escape it forever.
Yeah, and for sure.
I can't say that it's because I exercise and my husband does. He's a personal trainer, so he exercises as much or more than I do. I will say, though, something else that I will absolutely credit. So Cole was a NICU baby, and we were there for almost four weeks. I don't know if anyone listening has experience with the NICU, but you become an expert hand washer. You have to spend like 5 minutes scrubbing your hands as if you're preparing to enter surgery and perform surgery on someone. So ever since then, after any workout, and I go to a commercial gym, so like full of germs and grime, I do a NICU hand washing session in the bathroom. So I'm pretty positive that's helping too, to avoid bringing germs home.
That's pretty good. I wash my hands when I leave the commercial gym I go to as well, but I'm going to assume it's not as thorough as you. So maybe I should take a note.
Oh, something that, it just has stuck with me. Washing my hands a little longer than the average person. Okay, let's dive into our questions today because we've got some goodies. Are you ready for the first one, Lauren?
Bring it on.
Okay, this is one we haven't answered before. Talk to me about dairy. I keep hearing that dairy is inflammatory. Is that true?
First of all, I want to say that inflammation is like a super trendy, hot button word right now. And I don't think a lot of people fully understand what it means. And I'm far from an expert, but a lot of things cause inflammation in our body. And it's not all bad. Exercise, like we were just talking about, causes inflammation. A fever is inflammation in your body. It's helping your body heal. So I think, first of all, like inflammatory, it sounds scary and bad, but let's just take a breath and realize that not all inflammation is bad. Inflammation is a very normal thing. And a lot of things we do can cause inflammation. So is dairy itself inflammatory? So what research has found is that diets high in saturated fat can actually cause inflammation, and milk has saturated fat in it. So for some people who consume a lot of dairy, they might be getting some inflammation from that dairy. But just like how we always talk about, everything needs to come down to the individual. Different people are going to have different tolerances. They might have a lactose intolerance. They might feel really good including a lot of dairy in their diet. They might find they're very mucousy with a lot of dairy in their diet. So to me, it really comes down to how much are you consuming in a day and how is it making you feel? Like, that's really the bottom line, is how do you feel with it? Do you feel like you're having some negative side effects from consuming dairy? Do you feel like you're having a lot of dairy and maybe it would be helpful to cut back a little bit and include other quality sources of, you know, unsaturated fats in your diet? That would be something to look at before I ever would answer a blanket statement of yes, dairy is inflammatory, or no, everybody should go have some more dairy. I think it is a very, very individualized answer. Now, you are dairy free, so you might be have an interesting answer to this.
I don't have an interesting answer. My answer echoes yours. I will say that I think social media and media in general likes to be very polarizing. So I think that's where some of this misconception comes from. So do you remember the Got Milk campaigns?
Mm-hmm.
They were everywhere when I was growing up.
The coolest celebrities from the 80s or from the 90s and early aughts.
With the white milk mustache. It was like, yes, if you're not drinking milk, what are you doing? Your bones are going to crumble, right? Yeah. So milk became this thing that like is so important and everybody needs it. And all of the vitamins that are inside milk, like cannot be gotten anywhere else in terms of diet. And I will be the first to say dairy products do contain really great nutrients with potential anti-inflammatory properties like calcium, vitamin D, and certain fatty acids. However, now we're kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum with media. And it's like, no, all dairy is bad and it's evil and you shouldn't drink the milk of another animal. I think we've gone a little like nutso in that direction. As someone who has a dairy allergy, I'm very thankful for all the non-dairy products that are out there. But I can say if I was not allergic to dairy, I would have no problem eating it. In fact, I really wish I could have Greek yogurt because it would be another really easy protein containing food or snack that would make my life easier. That being said, even if someone doesn't have a dairy allergy, they could have a lactose intolerance. So lactose is the sugar found in dairy products. And lactose intolerance doesn't mean that you'll go into anaphylactic shock if you eat something with dairy, but it does mean that your body lacks what it needs to break down the lactose. And so it can lead to symptoms like gas and bloating and inflammation in some individuals. So you might notice that when you have milk or you eat ice cream, you just don't feel good. And in that case, I think an experiment where you eliminate dairy for 2 weeks or a period of time could be super beneficial. Because if you feel better without it, fantastic. Maybe dairy does cause inflammation in your body and you would be better substituting it with a milk alternative. Now, like you said, everybody's response is super individual. So if you're drinking milk and you're eating dairy products and you have no negative symptoms whatsoever, I don't think you need to worry about it a second more. I think you should continue eating your dairy products for sure. Be considerate of saturated fat. And saturated fat doesn't just come from full fat dairy products. Certainly some of them have a lot, like cheese and butter and things of that nature, but we can find saturated fat in chips and crackers and other things that line the shelves of our grocery stores. But saturated fat has been shown to increase the risk of chronic diseases like heart disease and diabetes in certain cases. That's something that we just want to be cognizant of, but dairy is not something that is bad. It needs to be avoided.
Well, and this is anecdotal, but I find a lot of people can handle some forms of it and some forms not so much, or like the amount that they're consuming is important. So like personally, I don't do awesome with regular milk. I find that I get very bloated with that, but I have cheese almost every day. I have Greek yogurt and cottage cheese regularly. I just have to be mindful of portions when it comes to that. I can't be like loading it up, as delicious as cheese is. I'm not going to feel great if I have a giant, you know, super cheesy meal. Same for cow's milk. There's something about it that just doesn't sit well with me. So it, like we've been saying, it has to come down to the individual, your preferences too. And if you're feeling good and you consume dairy, don't stress about it. It's, to me, it's like the two easy things to fearmonger about is dairy and gluten. Everybody should be terrified of those two ingredients. It's like grifting 101 right now on nutrition in the nutrition social media world. But in reality, if you feel fine on them, consume them. If you want to experiment, go for it and see how you feel.
I also think the dairy debate reminds me of eggs and the conversation surrounding eggs.
Yes.
Like one person will be like, it's nature's multivitamin. You should eat all of the eggs. Like, it's amazing. And then this other person is like, eggs are terrible for your cholesterol. You shouldn't eat eggs. In reality, unless you're a hyper responder and you have an extensive family history of high cholesterol, eggs are totally fine for your consumption. And again, individual matters, like whether you have this family history, how you feel eating eggs, etc. So one of those things where maybe don't buy into the hype on either end of the spectrum. It's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, there are essentially, there's very, very minimal statements that can be applied to 100% of the population. And certainly cutting out all dairy is not one of those statements that can be applied to everybody.
I saw an Instagram post the other day that said, if someone is sharing boring nutrition information, they're probably a credible source you should listen to.
Oh, good.
It made me feel better about our stance on food.
I know. Sometimes I feel so like a broken record, or like I hate having to say, well, it depends. Like, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Nothing is black and white in the world of nutrition.
So true. Okay, next question. I think this is one that a lot of listeners will be curious about. Is my anti-depression medication causing me to gain weight? I feel like I'm doing everything right, but I'm gaining instead of losing.
There are so many different anti-anxiety or anti-depression medications, and all of them come with different potential side effects. And for some of them, weight gain can be a side effect. However, and I want to again make it clear, I'm not an expert on anti-depression medication. There is more research that supports the idea that it is maybe you're feeling better, so you're consuming more food. Maybe you're feeling better, so you're having more social meals out. It is actual lifestyle changes that could potentially be causing the weight gain without you realizing it. You're just walking around feeling a lot better. And I think it's important to note, a few extra pounds on an overall healthy individual might not be the worst thing if you're feeling happier and healthier and more energetic in general. It might be a trade-off you're willing to make. I wouldn't necessarily assume that weight gain is bad in this situation. I think that's important to note that not all weight gain is bad necessarily. Now, if you are somebody with a fat loss goal, you really want to live in a leaner body, you're taking some of these medications. When it comes down to it, no one is exempt from the laws of like thermodynamics. You still need to consume less calories than you are expending to achieve fat loss. But there could be things that are making that harder, medication being one of them. If you are still maybe struggling with symptoms of depression, maybe your activity is really low or your sleep is really terrible. There could be more lifestyle related variables that would impact the weight versus just the medication. I think it's really important to zoom out and look at lifestyle overall instead of just blaming one individual thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think this is a tough question to answer because obviously we would say that being mentally well is far more important than living in a lean body. However, the individual has to feel that way, right? And if they're going to buy in to that, I think that weight gain or stubborn weight loss can be a side effect for a lot of anti-anxiety and anti-depression medications. And if that's a concern for you, it's definitely something you should talk to your healthcare provider about, because like you said, Lauren, not all of them have that side effect. And so certainly if your doctor is prescribing you something, they believe that the benefit of that prescription will far outweigh the potential side effects. So he or she may be able to help you find a medication that is less likely to contribute to weight gain so that you feel more comfortable on this medication. I will say, anecdotally working with clients, I have seen, like you said, some people who have started an antidepressant and have noticed that they're happier. And so that means that they're now engaging more socially and they're eating out more and maybe they're just enjoying food more often. And so that comes with weight gain. I've also seen the inverse happen. So where clients get on the right medication for their depression and now they're happier. So they're not eating their sadness anymore. They're not feeling as though food is the only thing that brings them joy anymore. And so as a result, they're eating more mindfully and they're consuming fewer calories and weight loss becomes easier. I've seen both ends of the spectrum. So what I want someone listening to understand, if you are feeling like it's probably the right decision for you to be on an anti-anxiety or an antidepressant, that doesn't mean that you're doomed to gain a bunch of weight. It doesn't mean that you have to give up on your weight loss goal. I do think that for some medications, it can be a side effect. Absolutely. And like I said, if that's a concern, bring it up with your healthcare professional so that they can help you balance what you really need, what's most important to make sure, you know, that your brain is functioning at its best and that you're feeling really good in your body. Cause it's hard to navigate. You know, if you feel like you're putting on a bunch of excess body fat that doesn't leave you feeling good on top of already not feeling good, like that's a hard place to be. So it's definitely a valid concern. In this individual's case, I would want to know what they feel like they're doing right. So she said, I feel like I'm doing everything right. Does that mean you're being vigilant about what you're eating? Are you counting calories? Are you being physically active? Are you getting enough sleep? That can sometimes be really hard for people who struggle with anxiety and depression. Are you feeling like you're able to prepare your food in advance of the week and hit the grocery store? Or, you know, like what exactly do they feel like they're doing? I think there's a lot more there I would want to know.
I would also, we talk about periodizing your nutrition plan. If you are in a phase of life where you are just getting on an antidepressant, anti-anxiety medication, maybe that isn't the time to be hyperfixated on body weight. Maybe that is the time to really focus on just feeling better. And you can, I'm not saying forget about your physical health and just focus on mental health because the two are so strongly linked. But while you are getting that under control and working towards feeling your best mentally, you can work on lifestyle behaviors. You can, like you said, you can, if you're feeling more energetic and just feeling better, you can work on, you know, eating to comfort as opposed to emotionally eating your feelings, or going for walks instead of, you know, whatever it may be. You can work on implementing lifestyle changes and just set the scale weight down, the body fat loss down for a second while you focus on doing these other things in your life that are going to help you feel physically and mentally better. And when you're at a place where you feel pretty solid in both of those, then you can turn and your focus towards fat loss. So just remember that fat loss is always going to be there. It doesn't have to be your top priority. It's always an option, but it's not necessarily the best thing to focus on in every season of life. So give yourself permission to set that down for a second, focus on feeling your best, and then pick it back up when you feel ready.
Yeah, your overall wellness is so much more important than your weight. I think this reminds me of spoon theory. So Ben Smith talked about this in his podcast episode ages ago when he was on the show. And he mentioned that he struggled with depression, suicidality, and he mentioned spoon theory, which is, in summary, basically we don't all start with the same number of spoons for our day. So if spoons are like fucks that we have to give, basically, for lack of a better expression, I may start with 12 of them. And so I start my day and I'm like, okay, I'm going to devote this spoon, this time and energy to getting my workout in. And I'm going to devote this spoon to making sure I eat a really healthy, well-balanced lunch. And I'm going to devote this spoon to going for a walk after my workday, whatever. But maybe you, struggling with depression, wake up with 5 spoons. And one of those spoons is used simply to get out of bed, or 2 of those spoons is used simply to take a shower and start your day. You have 3 spoons left, potentially 2 spoons left. And maybe physical activity and eating healthy, nourishing food just doesn't fit with your allotment of time and energy, your capacity, your spoons. So imagine if you got on a medication that allowed you to have 12 spoons when you woke up in the morning, because now your depression, your anxiety is well managed. Well, now you can do so much more in terms of those health promoting behaviors that can be supportive of fat loss and just overall health and longevity. So I think we're agreeing on this point. Make sure that you're prioritizing your mental health. And that doesn't mean that you can't have a weight loss goal or a fat loss goal in the future, but get yourself feeling well first.
100%. Yeah. You can't, starting off a fat loss goal feeling like crap mentally is, I can't imagine that's going to be a successful fat loss phase.
No. Okay, next question. Speaking of fat loss, is it true that sugar goes straight to your lower belly?
No, I feel like I could stop right there. No, it is not true at all. The only thing that contributes to body fat gain is being in a consistent caloric surplus over time. And weight distribution is largely genetic. So yeah, no, certain foods do not cause you to gain and hold on to body fat in certain parts of your body. Sugar itself does not cause you to gain body fat just in isolation. If you consume sugar, but you stay in a caloric deficit, you will lose body fat. So yes, no, absolutely not. No foods cause you to gain body fat in a specific part of your body. You cannot spot reduce body fat by, like, you know, spending 2 hours on the stair stepper in the gym. Your legs aren't going to magically lean out. By cutting out sugar, your stomach isn't going to magically lean out. Genetics largely determine your body composition in terms of fat distribution, and a caloric surplus or a caloric deficit will determine whether or not you are gaining or losing body fat. That is the long and short of it. Do you have more to add?
No, preach. You said it all. I have nothing more to add. I think that was a very succinct, that might be the shortest answer we've given to date, but it is spot on.
I mean, what else is there to say?
Oh, this is, I get that this is kind of a misconception, because this reminds me of all of the videos on TikTok right now and Instagram that are like, oh, if you only do this exercise, you'll get a snatched waist. Or if you walk this way on the stair climber, you will get the biggest butt shelf, or, like, you know, whatever they're talking about, where it's like, you can sculpt this section of your body by doing this one thing or eating this special food. No, you can't. No, you can't.
Well, and I don't know what's going on with my algorithm, but I've had a couple videos pop up where it's like, what I eat in a day to keep a lean stomach. And I'm like, this isn't a thing, guys. It's just not a thing. Like, your weight is, your food does not determine the leanness of your stomach necessarily in isolation like that. It's just not how it works. It's, again, overall caloric consumption, energy expenditure. Your body composition is going to be determined by movement, what you're doing in the gym. All, there's so many things beyond, like, I don't eat sugar, so I have a flat stomach.
Yeah. Okay, next question, because I think we've said enough about that. I want to lose weight for summer. What should I do?
Okay, so we are recording this on March 29th. So let's say that's 2 months till Memorial Day weekend. That it's going to largely determine the person coming to me with the goal. If they have a very large amount of weight to lose, I would first want to set appropriate expectations. And this goes for both this. Okay. Actually, rewind. This would go for anybody with a small fat loss goal or a larger weight loss goal. We need to set appropriate expectations for what is possible in the next 2 months. Now, if you are somebody that just wants to lean out and feel a little bit more comfortable in a swimming suit for summer, I would do the following things. Number one, I would start to eat plenty of protein to keep myself full and satiated. I would get in a conservative deficit, not anything too aggressive, because I hate being in an aggressive deficit. I hate feeling that hungry. To me, it's just not, the juice is not worth the squeeze in that situation. So I would get in a conservative deficit that I could consistently adhere to over the next 8 weeks. You can look at your current diet. If you are maintaining your weight, you just cut out a serving or two of carbs and fats. Boom, you're in a conservative deficit right there. I would walk plenty. I would strength train plenty. And I would mostly try to consume whole foods. Basically, I would do nothing special and fancy outside of what I'm doing right now, except I would ensure that I'm eating in a conservative to moderate caloric deficit. That's really what I would do. I would also minimize alcohol as much as possible. I would prioritize sleep as much as possible. I would make sure I'm managing my stress as much as possible, and mainly set very appropriate expectations for what is possible by summer. Now, somebody with a bigger fat loss goal is going to be doing the same thing. They might be able to see a little bit more progress because they have a bigger goal, a bigger fat loss goal, and they can maybe continue that through the summer and continue to see progress. But essentially, fat loss is fat loss. It works the same. It's going to be a little bit harder if you're already in a leaner body. It's going to be a little bit easier if you're in a bigger body and have more to lose. But at the end of the day, that's kind of the blueprint, I feel like, for fat loss, especially in this short period of time.
I agree. And I think it's also important to acknowledge whether, and this is sort of like, I hope I know which end of the spectrum you're landing on, but it's important to acknowledge whether the weight you want to lose for summer is weight you want to stay off. So the advice that you gave is great advice for someone who wants to lose weight for summer and then keep it off sustainably. You could do something more aggressive. So you could immediately jump to eating 0.7 to 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. You could immediately jump to eating 25 to 30 grams of fiber a day. You could immediately jump to 7 to 10K steps a day. You could immediately jump to strength training 2 to 4 times a week, whatever. That is probably a little aggressive for most people who have not been working at those things for a long period of time, meaning that it is unlikely to last because it probably doesn't feel like it fits with your real life. What I would recommend doing is taking stock of where you're currently at. How much protein are you currently eating? How many steps a day do you currently get? How many times a week are you currently working out, if at all? How many servings of vegetables are you eating a day? How many hours of sleep are you getting a night? All of the things that you mentioned, but take stock of where you're currently at. And if we want to build for sustainability, we have to take one step at a time. So instead of shooting for 0.7 to 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, which is the ideal recommendation, if you're currently eating one egg to start your day and maybe you have a piece of chicken for dinner, girlfriend, we got to work on that first. We've got to get you to like 2 solid servings a day, which is not anywhere close to the ideal threshold. And then we can work up to 3 solid servings a day. So taking those incremental progressions to ensure that you're building a behavior, you're building a habit that you can confidently stick with even when summer's over and winter rolls around. So that's the only thing that I would add is instead of trying to like push the pedal to the metal, just make sure that you're engaging in behaviors that you feel like you can stick with long-term, which goes for anyone, but especially if we're looking to lose weight for a deadline, whether it's for like a gathering, a beach trip, for summer, for a wedding, for my, I don't know, in-laws barbecue, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we tend to want to do more aggressive things and do it faster. And in my experience, that backfires almost every time.
I think the problem this time of year is people start to panic. Like, oh my God, summer's right around the corner and I have completely forgotten about my New Year's resolution and now I only have 2 months, so I have to go as hard as possible. I would encourage you to take a breath and remind yourself that true fat loss, sustainable fat loss, like you mentioned, it takes time. Like if we're looking at an 8-week timeline, anywhere from like 4 to 10 pounds would be phenomenal progress, but people don't want that. They want to lose 20 pounds by summer. But you need to remember, especially for somebody in a leaner body, 4 to 8 pounds by Memorial Day would be fantastic progress. So that is why I did start with like, hey, we need to set appropriate expectations because it's the end of March, beginning of April, you're not going to be down 20 pounds by June. You're most likely not going to be able to do that in a health promoting sustainable way. So resist the urge to go ham and go crazy and cut out all the calories and exercise yourself into madness and start doing exactly what you said, building sustainable habits so that when you do lose fat, it stays off and you're not stuck in this cycle every year. Which is
exactly. Yes. And work on it now so that you can feel a little bit better and look a little bit leaner for this summer, but then prepare to be like your baddest self for next summer. Mm-hmm. Like you've got to get ahead of this. I've mentioned this before, but our most successful clients work with us, and that's with a range of weight loss goals for 6 to 12 months. And that's because we want to ensure that the results that they keep, they feel confident about keeping. And that's not to say they're never going to hit a bump or a sticky spot where their weight's going to fluctuate. That happens to every single one of us. But we want to ensure that when they go through a holiday season or they have a summer with more alcohol and more like cookouts, that they know how to navigate those circumstances. We don't work with our clients for 30 days or even 60 days because we know we can't help them create lasting transformations and habits that are going to last in that period of time. So you have to play the long game here. If you wanted to be your leanest self this summer and you're just starting now, sorry, not sorry. You're a little behind the eight ball, but you can be your baddest self, your leanest self next summer, if you want to. And getting started now is the best thing that you could possibly do.
Well, and just to help you resist the urge to like try to like drop all the weight by June, just remember that if you go that route, the second you start enjoying the cookouts and the margaritas on the deck or whatever it might be, it's all gonna come back on. And by August, you're not gonna be feeling good. And then you'll have to try to freak out and try to do it again before the holidays. And then the holidays will come around and then you'll set a New Year's resolution and then that'll slide off. So it's, you're, let's get out of that cycle. Let's jump off that hamster wheel and instead really truly focus on building these habits, sustainable fat loss. Reach out to Nicole and I. We're happy to help you through it. And that way, again, like you so beautifully said, next summer you will be unstoppable, incredible. But this summer, let's just focus on getting there.
Yeah, one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And if, like Lauren said, you need a little help getting there, we are happy to help you. In fact, Lauren, you mentioned we're recording this today, which is March 29th. This will come out the first week of April, which coincidentally is when we are launching our one-on-one nutrition coaching program. So if you are interested in getting individualized guidance, we do not follow a cookie cutter meal plan or any prescriptive nutrition advice. We actually help our clients get from where they are to where they want to be sustainably, one action step, one behavior, one healthy habit at a time in a way that works for them, that is customized to their taste buds, their lifestyle, their preferences. We want you to fill out the coaching application below, because if this week and next you fill out a coaching application, we are gifting you a free month of coaching when you sign up for six. We are gifting you 2 free months of one-on-one coaching when you commit to 9. And this is crazy, but we are gifting you 3 additional months when you commit to 12. So we just talked about next summer. You could literally be at your healthiest, happiest self in a body that you feel so comfortable and confident in. And you don't have to invest for 15 months. You only invest for 12, and then we will gift you the remaining 3, because we want to reward people who are in this for the long game. We want to reward those of you who are saying, I've tried the quick fix, I've tried the restrict and punish, and it's not worked for me. So I actually want to invest in my long-term health and my long-term happiness. That is the kind of woman that we want to work with. So if that sounds like you, fill out the coaching application below and we'll just have a chat, a commitment-free, cost-free chat. We call it a discovery call. We get to learn a little bit more about you. You get to learn a little bit more about what we do with our clients. We make sure it's a great fit. If it's not a great fit, we will recommend you elsewhere to other coaches that would be a great fit. But if we feel like working together is exactly what you need to get you to your goal, then we'll talk about how to make that happen.
How exciting. What an exciting like opportunity. And it just went straight into, that was not planned, by the way, as we like talked about the summer. And then if you commit to coaching next summer, you will be in that body and that mindset and have the habits and behaviors that make you feel incredible. It's the best investment you can make.
I couldn't agree more. It's nothing lights me up more than a rock star who, like in our recent group coaching cohort, was like, I wore shorts for the first time in years today. Like, that is just so exciting.
I had 2 clients last week. One had put on jeans he has not worn in a year and he felt totally comfortable in them. And another had worn like a cuter, trendier, more fitted outfit. And she said she felt a little self-conscious and her daughter was like, you look incredible. And she said she wore it and felt totally confident. And I was so proud of her.
Oh, that is amazing. All right, Scott. All right, squad, we will catch you on the flip side. I don't even know what that word was.
It was Scott.
If you have a question that you want answered on the next Q&A podcast episode, you know what to do. Drop us a line on social media at Nutrition with Nicole or at Lauren G Nutrition on Instagram, and we will look forward to connecting with you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.